Good afternoon, Fort Wayne. It is so great to see you guys. We got that very kind welcome by Dustin there. Eric and Megan Testa, that's us. Megan and I grew up in the church. And so we were in the Chicago Church of Christ. And so we were, you know how there's like all these little kids running around in here? You have a high amount of young kids in this church, which is really cool. But we were those kids running around way back when in the Chicago church. Megan's parents were baptized in like the 70s, way back when, before like the movement was going on. And my parents were baptized in 1990 when I was 8 years old. And so I actually remember a home that was broken, that was messed up with drug addiction, alcoholism, all kinds of mess, on the verge of divorce, and God stepping in at just the right time and saving the day. And so we grew up in the Chicago church. We desired to be in the ministry because we had a great youth ministry experience. And so we were so grateful for what we had that we desired to do the same thing. God blessed. We got married right after college, literally 1 month after we graduated college, because her dad said, "Eric, you can't get married any quicker than that." And so we got married right after college, went in the ministry 3 years later. Now we've been in Indianapolis for almost 8 years. And we love Indy. We love you guys, too. This is my third time visiting Fort Wayne. I got to visit Fort Wayne a number of years ago when you were at Indiana Tech. I am here today, and the other time was this past September for the women's retreat. I was actually there. I was doing the sound and all that, and so I'll tell you guys, it like they're different when we're not around. I was just doing my best to kind of stay in the back and everything. But I got some pictures. Those are our boys, Logan and Carson. And so that's them on the way to wrestling practice. And so Logan's 7 and Carson's 5. And I apologize in advance for anything that this one says to you, or you know, maybe that one. So they're very excited, outspoken boys. So just, you know, just thought, disclaim that. And this is all of us at Halloween this past year. And so that is us. You know, guys, I want to make sure and communicate to you, we love you as a church. On a day-to-day basis, you are on our hearts as our Indiana brothers and sisters. And it's even cool, I feel like I've met at some point or been around half of you. You know, what's funny is, when you're around a family of churches for 25 years like I have been, there's times where you don't even remember when you first crossed paths with somebody. You know, so there's the half of you that I know, I don't even remember the first time that I got around you, be it the Knox or Brad or, you know, or anybody like that. I think about the Wrights. We got to work together in the youth ministry. And Dustin and Stevie, we have come more to work with over the past few years as we've gotten them to, you know, move south to Chicago, and now they've moved southeast, of course, a little more here to Fort Wayne. But I want to just tell you and remind you of something that I know you already know. With having Dustin and Stevie here, you guys are a richly blessed church. Between their heart for God and their heart for you, of course, the talents that Stevie brings in, but also I'm convinced, and this is not, I don't loosely throw around compliments without meaning them. I'm convinced that in the Midwest, we don't have anybody less than 40 years old and that's as good of a preacher as Dustin. It's my opinion, but I mean that very strongly. Dustin and Stevie, we love you guys very much, even though we've only had little snippets of being able to hang with you guys. Me and Dustin are kind of polar opposite personalities, and so that made for some interesting times at camp. You know, Stevie would kind of be goading me to do little pranks and stuff on Dustin here and there. So that was good times. You know, in John 17, we know the passage. You don't have to turn there. But Jesus is preparing to face his greatest test. he was going to be completing his life on the earth after enduring a cruel death on the cross. And we see just a glimpse into his heart when he was praying in Gethsemane. And he prayed for a few things. One of the key prayers that he had, and his key prayer for us as disciples about 2,000 years after the fact, was that we would be one. Jesus talked about and prayed for us to have complete unity. Today, in sharing with you, I wanted to talk to you about it being a church that is united in heart and mind in a sermon that I've entitled, That They May Be One. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be together. God, I thank you for the Fort Wayne Church of Christ. God, I thank you for their hearts. I thank you for their example. I thank you for the unity that is already in place. God, may we be brought to even greater unity so that just as Jesus prayed those 2,000 years ago, we would be one as God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit, that you all three are one. God, unify us, bring us together, help us to do all that's required so that we can be a great, close-knit community of believers. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when we think about what we want for Fort Wayne, I wonder what kind of thoughts come to mind. And I want to encourage you just to ask yourself, it's rhetorical, I'm not going to call on anybody, what do you want to be said of the Fort Wayne Church of Christ today? What do you want to be said of the Fort Wayne Church of Christ 5 years from now? 10, 25 years from now? When the history books are written, what do you want to be said of the Fort Wayne Church of Christ, and what do you want it to look like even right now? A few things come to mind that I bet is coming to your minds. I bet that for many of you, you want the idea of family to be deeply rooted and deeply entrenched into this church. I bet some of you might think of the song that's resounding in my head right now, That Great Among the Nations. That song is great. Great Among the Nations. A fire from a spark. So great among the nations, bringing sunlight to the dark and offering salvation to a world of broken hearts. As you walk the streets of Fort Wayne and the surrounding areas, undoubtedly, it is a world of broken hearts. It says, in offering salvation to them, okay, and among the nations there would be a movement that would change eternity. You know, you have the opportunity, Fort Wayne Church, to impact the eternity of every person that you come into contact with. And I believe that that is what we want, of course. We want to bring glory to God by preserving this family that's in this room. You have several kids that are you know, kind of growing up and showing up and soon to arrive, even more, I know. You know, I think about that, and I think our first goal is to save those that are right here with us. Our first goal is to save those beloved children that God has blessed each one of us with. And I got to say, your kids do pretty good with all that singing and communion before they leave. You could tell that my two didn't know what to do. Because they were all squirrely and squirmy, and Carson's writing little notes to Elora that he had just met and everything. And they're actually the same age, even though she's so much taller than him. What else might we want to be said of the Fort Wayne Church? You know, perhaps as we consider in July the Reach Conference, the call to reach up for God, to reach in within this community, and to reach out into a lost and hurting world. I believe that those are the type of things that we want for the Fort Wayne Church of Christ. We probably want it to look like the church did in the book of Acts. You read through Acts 1 and Acts 2 when the church got started. It says that they were together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Being there together, they enjoyed the time with glad and sincere hearts. I'm paraphrasing, and I'm sorry for misquoting. Anyway, it's not written in English originally. But they had a great time together. Again, they were connecting with God. They were connecting with each other, and they were reaching out to a lost and hurting world, seeing many people saved. Of course, that's what we want. Chapter 3, chapter 4, it continues. And chapter 4 of Acts is where we're going to pick up. Chapter 4 of Acts. as the chapter goes on, there is even some persecution that's endured. And then we're going to pick it up in verse 32 after these guys suffer for the good of the gospel. It says in verse 32, it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sale, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. I'll tell you, that sounds pretty good to me. That sounds like they had a lot of things figured out. They were together. They made sure that nobody had any needs that went unmet. But something interesting kind of sneaks in to the passage here that I want to point out. And I want to read from the NASB. You familiar with the New American Standard? Right? The New American Standard, if you've never heard of it, is kind of a more literal translation of the Bible. Right? The New Testament was written in Greek, and so as it's translated, we have to try to make sure that we understand it. Is anybody that's multilingual in the room? Right? What languages do you speak? Spanish. Who is it? Spanish? All right, come on. Qué bueno que ustedes me pueden entender como yo hablo español también. Okay. Is that it? No other languages? And so if you speak another language, you know that when you are translating something, that it's always possible to lose something in the translation, right? And so the NASB is kind of the more literal translation. The looser paraphrase translations are like the New Living Translation. NIV that we oftentimes read from is kind of right in the middle, all right? The NASB, like I said, is that more literal translation. I want to read verse 33 from the NASB. Verse 33 from the NASB. How funny is it that nowadays, you know, so in the past, many of us would be like, okay, I'm just going to have to wait and hear what he says. A lot of you are turning to the NASB on your tablet, phone, or whatever. That's cool. And then probably a handful of you, it'll say, oh, got to download something. Nuts. All right. Verse 33. It says, and with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And abundant grace was upon them all. Abundant grace was upon them all. What I actually want to talk to you in preparing your thoughts for this idea of being one heart and mind is actually the topic of grace. Okay? And I'm going to explain that more in a moment. But it's interesting. In this NASB, it says, abundant grace was upon them all. Just a slight variation from the NIV. All right. I want to tell you a quick story because, like I said, this topic of grace, I think it is very misunderstood at times. All right. The idea of grace is often misunderstood, and I'll explain that more in a moment. So I want to tell you a story. Okay. There was once a man had a wife, and it was way, way back, you know, early 1900s. I feel like I'm a little bit hot mic here. Can we turn it down a little bit? In the early 1900s, and she was traveling across seas. And what were those things that would send messages that before we had phone, texts, you know, the beep, 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 beep. Telegraph, okay, so they were using the telegraph to beep, 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 you know, the messages across overseas. And she wanted to spend some money on some special things when she was there, all right? Perhaps some jewelry. So she sent a message inquiring as to how much she could spend. She said, may I spend $1,000? Okay, now, early 1900s, all right? So little bit of money, all right? He telegraphed promptly this message back saying, no, amount too much. She returns from her travels, and lo and behold, she has, I don't know, the crown jewels or whatever that is, for which she spent a staggering $10,000. $10,000. He said, what have you done? Why did you completely blow off what I called you to do? She showed him the telegraph, which actually simply said, no amount too much. Okay? As opposed to no amount too much, she saw no amount too much in being the great wife that she was, just like my wife would do. Okay? She said, okay, no amount too much. Let's go, baby. And she got the $10,000 necklace. You see, just a little bit can really throw off the meaning of something. And truth be told, church, I think this idea of grace has been really misunderstood. Right? You know, before we jump into that, I want to point out that as even some songs say, we have this idea of us drowning in God's grace. I don't know if I'm going to help you reach a point of drowning, but if I can help you to reach a point where you're scuba diving, that will be great. You know, what does that song say? If his grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. We're all sinking, as that one song says. Well, we're going to get a little bit technical. We're going to look at a little bit of Greek, and then we're going to get more into the scriptures, okay? Often we view grace as what kinds of things? I want to ask you to ask yourself that question. When I think of grace, what do I think of? Words like this are probably popping in your head. Mercy, right? Mercy, forgiveness, looking the other way, and of course that being God looking the other way, and pardon. A lot of times when we think of grace, this is what we think. Now, here's the thing. I think that God is able to do these things because of his grace for us. So you're going to say, well, what are you talking about, Eric? What exactly is grace? And what is grace really? It comes from this Greek word on the left, which is pronounced charis. Can you say charis? Charis. And when we transliterate it, transliteration is the process by which we take a word in another language and we spell it out in a way that we can just say it and we can pronounce it properly. It's like charis or charis, like I said. Now, that word charis, you might say, well, that looks an awful lot like charity. That looks a lot like charity. And you'll see how that actually would fit just perfectly in just a moment. Well, what is grace really? Grace has to do with a beneficent disposition toward somebody. A beneficent disposition toward somebody. Okay, well, let's think about this for a second. What is a disposition? What is a disposition? All right? It is that which you are naturally disposed to. All right? What your typical temperament is. Right? My typical temperament is not aligning with the Christian values, if you know what I'm saying, okay? I am from Chicago. I'm Italian. I am Sicilian. And I love my heritage, but there's a lot of things that I have got to look at and say, amen, that's part of my culture, but not all of it aligns with God's will, all right? Honestly, this me talking in front of you, it's not my disposition. My disposition naturally is to be kind of secluded, quiet, even depressed. God's disposition, however, is what is natural for him. And what is natural for God is to have a beneficent disposition where he longs to do great things for us. What else? Goodwill, kindness, loving kindness, and perhaps the word that we have in English that might be the best, just simple plug-in for grace is favor. Favor, all right? What else? You know, grace is something that it's important that we understand is given freely. Given freely with no expectations. And you consider charity, right? When you give to charity, it is not so that you can ever get anything back. Because you know that you may never and will likely never get anything back. But you are simply doing it out of your goodwill, your loving kindness. And as our last point here says, it's something that comes out of the goodness of the heart of the giver. Now I want you to consider God, as the scriptures say, God has grace for us. God is disposed towards giving us good things. God's disposition is to bless and to love. You know, think about what your disposition is. Think about when you woke up this morning. 5, 6, 7, 10, whatever time you woke up this morning. A lot of us, you find out what your disposition is at that point. A lot of us, we know what our... Here's the thing. At those points, we're called to deny ourselves, Luke 9, Luke 14. God doesn't have to deny himself because this is just who he is. So God has grace for us. Well, what does that mean? Some of you might be saying, how does this impact our unity? To that, I would say this. Grace, like I said, has been misunderstood, and it's resulted in a poor foundation for a lot of us. Grace has been misunderstood, and so it's resulted in a poor foundation because a lot of us do not realize and we are not convinced that that is how God views us or feels about us. In addition, if you're disconnected from grace, you'll be disconnected from the Father. You'll be disconnected from each other. I'll say that again. You're disconnected from grace. You'll be disconnected from the Father. You'll be disconnected from each other. Let's get into the Word. Every passage that we're going to be looking at is going to be on the screen. Okay? Ephesians 2, let's read. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved." Now hold on. We are a part of the Fort Wayne Church of Christ that does not believe that you say a simple prayer and you're born again, right? We are a part of a family of churches that takes the Bible and tries to do exactly what it says, and we believe that we are saved at the point of our baptism, that that's the point where we are saved. Now, we look at something like this, and some of us get scared. Oh, it's by grace you've been saved. People have thrown this one in my face, and I wasn't quite sure what to say, and I've had to dance and dance and dance. In what way does grace save us? Well, you consider the heart of God. And when you consider that God's disposition is to love us, his disposition is that he has favor for us, goodwill, naturally, what flows from that is us giving our hearts over to him. Okay? When you get in touch with the grace of God, he gets you. Okay? As I know there's somebody in here that's super tight with a man named Gordon Ferguson, and he wrote that special book called Romans. Sorry. First Paul wrote Romans 2,000 years ago, and then Gordon wrote a book called Romans, A Heart Set Free. All right, and what Gordon says then, when you get Romans, God gets you. All right, and Romans is that book that talks a lot about the grace of God. It talks a lot about the grace of God. All right, and so we see this: it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves; it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You see, human nature, church, is to do this, do that, do this, do that. And we are so just works-oriented as a society, right? As a society, it's what have you done for me lately, right? Oh, how are you performing? And that's where we go. That's kind of the expectations that we hold over people in our day-to-day lives. And sadly, at times, we assert that into our relationships with God. And even in the way that we minister to each other, sometimes we could be works oriented. But you see, Romans 6:23 wouldn't say the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You catch that? The wages of sin is death. So the wages, what you've earned, what you've deserved because of your sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Wages, gift. Wages, gift. So what we get because of our sin is death. And the scripture doesn't say, oh, because you live such a good life, you get saved. No. One, none of us could live a good enough life. Okay? And in addition, God says, no, this one's going to have to be a gift. This one's going to have to be a gift. I encourage you to read Romans 6:23, maybe with a little more special time, sometime this week. But whereas our nature says, do this, do this, do this, do this, Jesus, when he had gone to the cross, he said, it's done. It's done. No more do, do, do. It is done. Titus 2, what does it say? Titus 2, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." You see, the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness. So, if grace were simply just mercy or forgiveness, I think it wouldn't quite have the same effect that this is referring to right here. Because you see, we are, I feel, compelled to be obedient to the scriptures, to live that holy life, when we're in touch with how much God loves us. When we're in touch with how much God loves us. You consider the way that you interact with your spouse if you have one. You know, it's not perform or be this way that I might love you, that I might treat you well. No, no. It's I love you. Now, please treat me well. All right? You know, God is essentially saying the same thing. Okay? It's not live good enough so that I'll be happy with you. No, no, no. I love you so much. May that be enough motivation for you to live the life that I call you to. Because remember, I'm not calling you to live this way for my benefit, but for yours. See, we got to understand, church, our righteousness is not a blessing to God, it's a blessing to us. Because God knows that the things he laid out in Scripture is not the things that are going to bless his heart or get him to love us. It's because he knows that the mess that we walk into readily, day in and day out, will destroy our lives and ultimately pull us away from God. Our sin, once you are baptized, once you are washed in the blood of Jesus, you are his. You're not going to sin your way out of salvation. But if you allow yourself, sin will harden up your heart that you will walk away from him. His grace is what draws us in. In Romans 2, it's the passage that talks about how the kindness of God leads you toward repentance. It's the kindness of God, his favor, his grace, that leads you towards repentance. And finally, this passage in Isaiah says this, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. You know, you consider this idea of being precious and honored in the sight of God. What's the baby's name again? How, what was it? Azalea. Hey, you consider Azalea and how happy he is to be holding the baby right now. All right? That's an example of precious and honored in his sight. You know, here is me 7 years ago with Logan. And, you know, I look at that and I remember holding him precious and honored. My brother, he leads the Northwest Indiana Church of Christ. His name's Anthony. They have two sons. One's 5 and one's 3, Michael and Harvey. And last week, they had twin boys. Precious and honored. And those of us who are blessed to have children, okay, know that feeling. And you know what? Even if you haven't had children of your own, I think we understand that. But you consider the way that a parent looks at their child. You know, Logan was born to me at 26 years old. This little guy, babe, how much was he? Like 6 pounds, 9 ounces, something like that? That was 7 pounds, 11 ounces. I guess that's carried over to the modern day. If you see Logan, he kind of walks like this. But with Logan, I remember you all of a sudden are just completely enamored with somebody who has done nothing for you. Okay? Now, here's my question. Where do we get off acting like God's going to love us any less when we mess up? You know, I would dare to say, and I didn't think through this, it's not in my notes, so if I'm theologically off base, I'm sorry. You could argue that it's insulting to the heart of God when we start to almost examine his affections for us when we blow it. I don't think that it angers God. I think it breaks the heart of God when we stumble and when we mess up and when we sin against him. Because remember, the grace of God is such where he loved you from the beginning. He loved you when you had done nothing for him. That's the type of heart that God has for you. The same heart that a parent has for their child. Because you're precious and honored in my sight, because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you. And you know what? He did. He did. He gave the most important one. It says, in nations, in exchange for your life. See, what happens, church, is this. We get into this kind of checklist mentality, and that was the best version of that I could find. You know, it says, the Christian checklist, repent and be baptized, check, obey God, check, good works, check, Bible study, prayer, have a right attitude, and endure to the end, check, 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 check. We did it, what a day, pat myself on the back. When the day is done, hello, do, 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 do. I mean, like, that type of mentality is from the world, Fort Wayne Church. Those are things that bless our hearts when we do them and bless each other's hearts. It does nothing to get God to like you any more or any less. But it is a blessing for us. And we get into this checklist mentality so easily, do we not? You know, what else do we do? We kind of do this little thing where we act like, if you can imagine, there's a line down the center of the Great Grace Presbyterian Church. I dig this place, by the way. I can't wait till you guys are filling up both sides. And is that a balcony? Come on, balcony. Like, I mean, it's going to be great. But you imagine there's a line down the middle here. And you know what we can act like? This is the side on which God still wants to give me good things and still loves me and still will protect me. And this is the side where he won't. Where because of my sin, because the way that I blew it today, that he's not going to be happy. And you know what we can act like? We can act like one point we're here, and another point we're here. One point we're here, and one point we're here. But you see, God doesn't do that little double dutch stuff with grace, all right? It's not back and forth, and it's not like that. I would dare to say that every human being, lost or found, disciple or not, is living under the grace of God today. Well, how is that possible, Eric? Were they allowed to live again today? Was the breath of life found in their nostrils this morning? I would venture to say that every human being experiences the grace of God, because remember, it's his kindness that draws us in. It's the favor of God. It's his love that brings us to the point of salvation. Okay? What else would it be? What brought the prodigal son home? Was it a great apologetics conversation that helped him realize, oh, no, you got to come home? No, no, no. He remembered the Father's table. He remembered the blessings that the Father had in store for him. God's kindness can and will lead us to repentance. You know, I think, sadly, and if I could kind of take kind of a pastoral moment with you today, church, I don't know what's going on in every one of your lives. I hardly know everything that's gone on in any of your lives. But I do know, in any group this size, there's hurt. There's things that through your life you've experienced that maybe you don't even want to talk about. And I'm not talking about ways that you've fallen or blown it or sinned. I'm talking about the ways that you've been hurt. And you see, we can get confused about the grace of God because of the things that have happened to us. You know, Eric, how would God stick around when my dad didn't even stick around? Eric, why would God take me into his family when my family doesn't even want me, Eric? And you see, our past can mess us up so much with these things. But I want to tell you today that God is not that person who walked out on you. God has not ever been the one that has rejected you or told you you're not good enough or that he's disappointed in you, because, of course, we can't disappoint the heart of God, because even when we blow it, he already knew we were going to blow it, so we don't let him down. You follow? Okay? And so we don't disappoint God like maybe a lot of you were raised hearing over and over and over again. God doesn't leave us behind, and God does not reject us. God is not that person who walked away from you or rejected you. Fort Wayne Church, you are the beloved of God. What is he? He is the one who will fight for you. He is the one who rejoices over you with singing. He was the one who will remain faithful no matter what we do. He's the one who quiets you with his loves, who will never sleep nor slumber. He's the one who doesn't leave or forsake you. He's protector. He's deliverer. He's holy. He is sovereign. He is everything that we could ever need for this life. And he's the one that draws us in because of his love. Do you believe that today? You know, when we are in touch with these things, unity will naturally flow through the Fort Wayne Church of Christ. And so I want to leave you with a few practicals today. I've given them the title, Unity Busters and Unity Builders. Unity Busters and Unity Builders. And we're going to try to move quickly through this. I apologize for going over my time. Unity Busters and Unity Builders. We're going to be looking at things that we are quick to do. That we are quick to do that either hurt or build our unity. What are they? First, being quick to miss the fellowship will not build, but it will bust the unity of the Fort Wayne Church. Well, I'm too busy. Guys, seek first the kingdom and its righteousness. Parents, I want to connect with the parents for a moment. We are, from the time they're little, we are training our children's character, right? They are 6 months old, they are learning humility. 6 months old, they are learning to be giving, all right? We're driving to church today. Okay, how are we going to be today at church? So when somebody meets you, you're going to look them in the eye. When they want to give you a hug, we're going to give a hug. And are we going to do anything heinous? No, we're not going to do anything heinous. Like I said, my boys have done stuff, all right? And, you know, I can tell you stories. But I want to help the parents understand something. The character that we are training, be it humility, selflessness, seeking first the kingdom is a trained thing. Your kids will learn whether your basketball or the church is going to be most important, whether chess or the church, choir or the church. And I say those three things not knowing what any of your kids do, all right? Those are just the things that popped in my head, all right? But we've got to be quick. We've got to not be quick to miss the fellowship. Being quick to anger. That will bust the fellowship. And again, this is not something that I know about Fort Wayne. This is just what type of things we're dealing with in Indy. But one very sensitive issue right now, more and more in our country, is of course race relations. Okay? And we just had the blessing of having a great weekend where we had somebody come in and named Michael Burns, very close with Dustin, and we had an outstanding time, and we've been working towards this. But right now it is a hot button thing, right? And a lot of you are on Facebook and you see the posts and you see the intensity, but guys, being quick to anger again will absolutely bust the unity. Quick to what? Judge. Being quick to also assume things about each other will absolutely bust the unity. You know, I was working out one day, and I'm sitting there in the gym, and there's a guy next to me that's bigger than me that was not lifting as much as me. All right, you know, back at home it'd be like I'd be getting the jeers, but I guess you guys are nicer than in Indy. But here's the thing with this guy: he wasn't lifting as much as me. You know what I started to do? Okay, this is confession time. All right, I was judging, like, what's with this guy? Why isn't he lifting as much as me? But you know what I stopped and thought? Maybe he's dealing with an injury. Maybe he is at the end of a really long workout, and I'm just at the beginning. When we are quick to judge, we are failing to consider this person might have hurts that I'm unaware of, and they might be at the end of a long, difficult time in their life. And so I want to encourage you, let's be careful about our quickness to judgment. Being quick to magnify each other's weaknesses. Instead, and I'm going to kind of revisit this towards the end, we got to be quick to actually magnify each other's strengths and any good thing that we can see in each other. Well, let's talk about unity builders as we get ready to close out. Being quick to handle issues. Letting things linger in the fellowship. Holy cow. This is not the place that we should come in and see somebody that we've got to avoid. Fort Wayne Church, I want to encourage you, be quick to handle whatever issues are there. We got a lot of young kids in this church, and so you parents of young kids can testify to this being a fact. You know, we don't want to let relational issues linger too long, just as much as we don't want to let a dirty diaper linger too long. You feel me? You guys feel me on that? Like, I mean, okay, if you don't yet, you'll know if you're a real young parent. Because it finds its way, they're running around, they're bouncing, and it just goes places. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, the longer you wait, the stickier it gets, if you feel me. I'll move on from that, all right? What else? We've got to be quick to be open about sin. Sin lingering in the church will destroy our unity. And instead, let us be quick to be open about sin. What else? We've got to be quick to listen. You ever notice we have two ears and one mouth? So perhaps we need to be twice as quick to listen as we are to speak. And I believe very strongly that we need to seek to understand before we even seek to be understood. We got to seek to understand before we seek to be understood. And finally, we've got to be quick to forgive. I would like to read a passage from you, and then we'll be closing out in just a moment. Some of you might be familiar with the names Barton W. Stone and Alexander Campbell. They were chief centerpieces of the Reformation movement. Okay? And we owe a great deal to them, even for what we get to experience as a family of churches. All right? And these guys have been gone for a long, long time. But at one point, as the Reformation was kind of coming together, it was clear that either Stone or Campbell, Barton Stone or Alexander Campbell, would be kind of the lead guy. And so people realized they might literally contend with each other for kind of the chief seat, if you will. And this is what Barton Stone had to say. He says, "I will not say that there are no faults in Brother Campbell, but that there are fewer, perhaps, in him than any man I know on earth. And over these few, my love would throw a veil and hide them from view forever. I am constrained and willingly constrained to acknowledge him the greatest promoter of this Reformation of any man living. The Lord reward him." And I ask you to consider in what ways we might need to throw a veil. Okay? As you move on from today and from this week, in order for us in the Fort Wayne Church and the rest of the family of churches that we have to march forward united as Jesus desired us to do when he made that prayer before enduring the cross, in order for us to do that, we do, I believe, need to be in touch with the grace of God so that we could be in touch with God and that we could be close to each other and connected. In addition, I encourage you to consider some of these unity busters and unity builders. Now, Fort Wayne Church, I believe you are headed to great things. You are a group that's connected, that's unified, that has already set the pace for a lot of these things in several ways. Also, you guys have great young, that's exciting, young leadership that is here with you. But in addition to all that, you serve a great God that loves you, that desires good things for you, and is going to lead you to greater and greater things as you go on. Fort Wayne Church, we love you very much, and thanks so much for allowing us to be here today.